Okay. Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you long. 20 minutes. We'll cut it off and we'll pick it up again next week. Amen. Unless Will says I can go further. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the need for an enemy. And I know that my wife said that sounded like the craziest topic to teach on. And I guess it did have kind of a crazy twang when you started. But the fact is, the Bible tells us that we will have enemies, and our enemies are going to propel us into our destiny. It depends on how we deal with them. If we deal with them according to the way God says we will, then we're promoted. And as long as we never exchange evil for evil, he says that when someone does things bad to you, you do good things to them. And the thing about it is that increases your faith. Because I can tell you, and many of you probably can testify, that when you've gotten to a point and you really want to do them bad, because you got them over a barrel and you could do some serious damage, but then you decide first in your mind that I'm going to do what God says. And when you do what God says, God changes you. And all of a sudden, it feels good to do good, even when people do you bad. So we got through that. We understand that the word said, and the Lord said to my Lord, said, I'll make your enemies a footstool. And we talked about the six steps up to the throne, but that seventh one was not a step, it was a stool. And it said it was made of pure gold. And we talked about before we can get to the throne, we had to get to the point where we would purify ourselves or purge ourselves of the things of the world as far as how we think and act. And then God said, I will use that last step, that stool, to give you access into the throne. So what we're saying is God gives promotion not because we can recite Bible verses. God gives promotion not because we can sing a shout or pray or we can shout na 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 show do do do. He gives promotion when we're obedient to his word. And guess what? It's easy to be obedient when it ain't nothing pressing you. It's easy, elder, to say I'm in line with the Lord when there's no resistance against you. But the true test of your faith is not when you can handle it when ain't nothing going on. It's when you can handle it when all hell has broken loose and you still say what they sang today, he's a mighty God. When you turn around and ain't nothing in your bank book but dust, and you can still say he's a mighty God. When you look around and everybody at work is getting all the good cases and you ain't getting nothing, you can still say he's a mighty God, because you're not dependent on people for your existence, because God is your supply and your supplier. And the only way we're going to do what we've been assigned to do here is to get to the point where we don't take it personal. Because when you take it personal, you're acting in the flesh. And he says we're not warring with fleshly things. We're warring against things that are not of the flesh. We're dealing with a spiritual battle. So I can look at somebody who in the flesh I would say is my enemy, but I have to know in the spirit that they're not my enemy at all. It's a spirit that's dealing with them that's causing me to interpret them as my enemy. And if I would look at myself first and say, God, how do you want me to deal with this? Because I want to be in line for promotion. And the only way to get in line for promotion is to be able to do what God says, the way God says it, when God says it, and how he wants it done. And so we went all through that, and now today we are dealing with Youth Sunday. Now, I'm not preaching today to the youth. I'm preaching to us, caregivers and parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles and good adult friends who have the responsibility as a church to give the proper example so that these children will grow up in a way that God is pleased. And it's more, and you know, we get sometimes, we think it's about us. It's never about us. When we come to the knowledge of who Jesus is, we understand that nothing is really about us. It's about us being used by God to build his kingdom. And so we're going to explore just for a few minutes some things about children and our position as parents, grandparents, and uncles, aunts, and so forth, our position in their lives, not for our purpose of just saying we got them through school, or we got them through college, or we got them through it and didn't get a night in jail. You know, we say, you know, I'm just grateful. I got him up to, he's 18, he's out of the house, and he's grown. Or she went through high school, and she's still all right. Those are still goals that are not steeped in God, but they're about our reputation.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Come on.
Think about that. It's about my reputation. Well, you know, we raised our little girl, and praise God, she's up and she's grown and she's got a family. Well, that's good. But because it makes you look good. Get with me this morning. And do we brag about them if they 17 and got two children? Hello, light. Hello, somebody talk to me. Why aren't you proud of them or to that extent when they go through some things you didn't want them to deal with? Because you still think it's about you and your reputation. But God said it's never about you. Your position, your calling is to be in position to do for and with these children when they're at the state that they can be molded so I can use them for my service. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Let's go. Hallelujah. We'll go for a little while. We'll cut it off. Amen. The battle for the seed. Listen to this. When we know the story in the garden, when Adam and Eve both failed in their position, you know, we talked about the difference between position last week. All right. So they failed and lost their position. And since that time, Satan now, by default, has had dominion in the earth. And so we see that even at that point, God had already positioned or put together a formula to take back what Satan thought he had. And this is the first verse where you get the full hint of what God is going to do in the earth. And he says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," say seed, "and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now I want you to see in red, I use in this particular version, it uses he, his, as a small h. And we know when we're talking about, and most of our Bibles that talk about Jesus, they use a capital whenever you see he or his. So that immediately caught my mind here. But now I went to another version, the Amplified, and the Amplified uses a capital H. All right, and I said, well, it must be some controversy. There must be some something not right here. It says in the same verse in the Amplified, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He," capital H, "will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel." Is there controversy? No. Why? Because when you look at the word he or his up here and translated in the Hebrew, it gives another word. And that word, we say we identify that word to mean posterity. Not prosperity, posterity. And that word posterity used in this is not a single word, but it's a plural. So it is talking about Jesus, listen to me, but it is also talking about everyone that's come after him that is born of a woman. So we're talking about a principle. And this principle we're talking about has to do with a definition in the Bible or a situation in the Bible that was said to one person, but it also applies to all people. Stay with me. And so what we see, it's called a principle of equivalent effect. And what it says basically, it says that every hearer should experience the same effect the word of God had on the original hearer. So the same thing that applied to Eve when God spoke to her applies to us today. So yes, he was talking about the big he, Jesus. But also it's talking to every parent that says, my solution for Satan getting dominion in the earth is that your seed should stomp on the head of Satan's seed. You are designed, parents. You are ordained, parents. You are set aside, grandparents, to minister to these children in preparation, elder. So when it times come against them, and they will, that instead of Satan being victorious, they'll be able to. They'll be able to stomp on his head. You have the authority, and you thought it was about getting them tennis shoes. You thought it was about Reebok and Air Jordan. You thought it was about baggy pants and a colorful underwear showing. You thought it was all about that. It's not about that at all. It's about you knowing your position so that when God gives you the blessing of a child, that instead of trying to help him learn every rap song, somebody ought to be teaching the Lord's Prayer at 3 years old. Somebody ought to be teaching them how to pray. Somebody ought to be teaching them and said, you know, when you get an age, I'm going to teach you while you're three. But at some time, the Holy Spirit's going to touch you, and I want you to understand who he is when he comes. I want you to know someday you're going to be in church or in your car or somewhere, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to know that God is getting ready to do something in you, and when he calls you, you need to answer him. You need to say, I receive him as my Savior. When you're hearing that message, because the word is going to touch you one day, and I want you to understand, when it touches you, you respond. He said, don't wait on your cousin. But when he calls you, you answer, I want to get you ready now, because you have battles that you're going to have to fight. And I'm not going to be there all the time. But I want you not to get worried, because the person that's going to be with you then is greater than I am with you now. And I want to prepare you. So when the time comes and he starts snapping at your heel, you can. The principle of equivalent effect. So you know that Jesus was successful defeating Satan, and he set us free from the penalty of sin. But guess what? Jesus paid it all. It is finished. But there's no, Jesus, God is no respecter of time. Therefore, in God's time, everything is complete. But until we are remade, we are still captive in time, and we have to follow a time period. So that's why we can say that Jesus is victorious. He's finished it all, but still we have Satan in the earth, because it's not his. When Jesus went and he was dealing with the demons that were in the man, they said, have you come to torture us before our time? And so that's why you can say, we say, well, you know, when I joined the church, I thought you said that Jesus has defeated Satan. He has. But he's not restricted by space or time. But until you get the rejuvenated, that new body, that you can go through walls like Jesus, until you get that new body that you can be here and there and everywhere, you can't work under those circumstances. You're still bound by earthly things because you're still in the flesh. So what we see here is God now has already defeated Satan. But Satan, right now, and his helpers are still very active in this time in the earth. Stay with me. Now, I don't want you to answer this out loud because I don't want you to embarrass yourself. Please do not answer this. Just think in your head. Amen? And I know why I'm saying this. Somebody going to answer it, and I'll be laughing. Don't let it be you. Listen. Satan is still in the earth. Is Jesus still in the earth? Don't say nothing. Go to the next slide. John 16:7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you in too close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him, capital H, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. So Satan and his cronies are still roaming the earth, but Jesus is at the right hand of the Father up in heaven. And God had already orchestrated this deal on how to get dominion back totally. So Satan thought that when he, quote, killed Jesus, that it was all over, but what he did was throw the rabbit right into the briar patch. And so now when Jesus rises with all power in his hand, he said, fellas, don't y'all be discouraged. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going up there, but I'm going to send somebody back here with you called the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's not going to be restricted by earth time because he's not going to be in my body like he was while I was here, but he's going to be free and he can be in your body and anybody all at the same time. Now, why'd I say all this? Because God set up a process by which he's going to take back dominion. And it's through the seed. So when you have that little boy, little girl, your child, or your grandchild, or your great-grandchild in your custody, in your care, understand, it's not so you can go around and brag about how cute your child is. It's not so you can let him act a fool up in the grocery store and people say, oh, how cute he is. Y'all need to get real with me. You know, it's so you can nurture and bring up and teach and watch over and instruct and construct and build hedges around and let them venture out under your supervision, because it's preparation for them to take on the rightful place in the war against Satan's folks. It's preparation so I may not be able to fight them all by myself, but God has given us an ability to create after our own. He says, now, he said, I've done all this. And he said, now you will create after your own kind. God gave the example in Genesis. He told the birds that they were going to create after their own kind. He told the plants they would reproduce after their own kind. He told everything that was alive that it would produce after its own kind. And when he got to man, Adam didn't have anybody to help him create. But God had laid down on the in the dirt a mold and said, we're going to create a man after our likeness and our image. In other words, we're going to create something from the dust of the earth that should act, react, and have the same character as we have. But because we created it, Jay, we haven't yet put its counterpart, because in order to take back dominion, it has to be able to reproduce after its own kind. And so if it produces after its kind, it means it's producing after my kind. Are y'all getting this? And so we have to nurture the children to get them to the point where the completion of what God wants them to be takes place. And the first step is that we are responsible to get them to the point when the Holy Spirit moves, they come to the altar and say, my grandmother taught me, my mama taught me, my auntie, my uncle taught me that the day would come that I would feel an urging and unction of this thing called the Holy Spirit, and I'm not afraid of it because I know what it's supposed to be, and I gladly now give my life to Jesus because I want that same spirit she got. I watched her with no money and she still sang Zion song. I watched her be sick and she just prayed and God moved on her and fixed her wounds. I watched her when she was disappointed for a little while, but she said, the Lord will make a way. I watched her, and I know I want the same thing she had in me. Hallelujah. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you. Wait a minute, Pastor. Let's roll this back generations. You first told Eve that there would be enmity, and you told her that he would bruise your seed's heel, but he would stomp on his head. And now I see a grammatical error in the Bible. Or so it seems. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Well, if it's the God that's crushing, it would seem that God would be crushing under his feet. But he says, God is going to crush him under your feet. How can this be? Because God has designed you that through the years that you walked outside of his will, you were the shell of who God intended you to be. And when he gives you that Holy Spirit, he now comes and indwells in you. And now the God in you uses your feet. Oh, I'm about to run up in here. The God in you uses your feet to stomp his head. Listen to me. I want you to stop running around talking about, oh, Lord, please come help me. Satan is after me. First of all, you ain't supposed to be running from him. But once you have the knowledge that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, when Satan comes up in front of you, you say, what's up? You really want some of this? Do you really think you want some of this? Because I got God in me, and it was declared back in Genesis, before I was even thought about, before the world was in its fullness, that my daddy's seed, which is me, would stomp on your head whenever you mess with me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to leave y'all hanging right there the next week.